Your exhortation this morning, I based my thoughts upon Scripture in the first chapter of Luke, verse 66. You know, we just completed a week of vacation Bible school a couple of weeks ago, not even that long ago, started a couple of weeks ago. And we had an average attendance of some 68 young people. And this verse goes along with what should have been our thought there. This question was asked after John the Baptist was born. You'll recall briefly the situation there, how his father had been made his speech or voice taken away from him. And after John the Baptist was born, someone said, well, why don't they name him Zacharias for his father? And of course, all of this was in God's hand. And after they had suggested this, Zacharias got his voice back and said, no, his name would be John. And after all of this unusual circumstance here, the people said among themselves, says, what manner of child shall this be? What manner of child shall this be? Evidently, their curiosity had been stirred up, and they had been caused to think a little differently than a common bird because Zacharias had lost his voice and all of this. But our key thought here is, what manner of child shall this be? This is what I want to base my thoughts upon this morning. As I mentioned, we had 68 young individuals here. If you think, as you sent your child, what manner of child will this be? Or did you think when your children were born? And I'm sure that even those who are aged in the group can remember every birth that transpired. What manner of child will this be? I can recall my mother saying that every child that was born, Dad cried. Evidently, he realized more so than individuals today what his responsibility was. And even though he couldn't, with a large family, possibly carry it out to his fullest desire, what manner of child will this be? You know, a birth isn't just something like hatching chickens, because chickens don't have a soul, or an animal. What manner of child will you cause your child to be? Usually we think when a baby is born, before it's born, I sure hope it doesn't have a big ears like Uncle So-and-so or have a long nose like someone else or a receding chin or an overbite like someone else or bow-legged like Aunt Priscilla or something like that. We think of the physical things, don't we? Only God knows what the future holds. Many factors do enter in to develop our personalities and character. Our ancestry can have a factor. Possibly your ancestors were more intellectual than mine. Paul was an intellectual man, brought up in the middle. Possibly your ancestors were naturally more loving toward other people. Possibly your ancestors were more appreciative of God than mine. The Jews should, by nature, be a God-fearing people. More than one of the races in the center. Possibly your ancestors were not of a hypertension nature where mine may have been. All of these things have a bearing on any child, which he has no control over. These are hereditary, hence. So your ancestry can have a bearing. Bring it down to something that many of us here today are aware of. Years ago, the Packers, hog buyers wanted real fat animals, real broad, full of lard, because there was not an oversupply of meat, and lard was used the only method as a grease. Today, things have changed. They want long, lean, like meat type animals. I'm not up here to discuss this, but I use this as a parallel. In comparison, God has developed a market for his people, which has no bearing on the size of what color his skin is, whether he has slant eyes or bulging eyes, thick lips or thin lips. All he asks is that we listen to his son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In other words, there is no thick animal involved, no skinny animal involved. All have been given the opportunity. And I use this as a parallel in Mark. God no longer deals in what our forefathers did or what nationality they were. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3 and 9 to the Sadducees and Pharisees, "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So you see, our ancestry has very little bearing. Another thing which could influence how a child turns out is the environment he's raised in. For an example, a child raised in a tar paper shack with ragged clothes, not a normal amount to eat, may grow up to have an inferiority complex. On the other hand, a child raised with everything handed to him on a silver platter may grow up to be conceited, unappreciative, unable to hold a job. The environment has had its influence in both of these situations. There is one thing which can overcome either a bad ancestry or environment. This is proper training. So when we think of what manner of child will my baby turn out to be, or my little boy or little girl turn out to be, don't consider necessarily the ancestry nor the environment. These things can be overcome with proper training. The child in the shack can be taught to thank God for what it does have, while the one in the mansion state with no giving of thanks for being taught the value of the product. Some of us here this morning who have gone through harder times than most of us know about have worn the same pair of overalls or the same dress to school for a week at a time because this is what you had. You didn't feel bad because everyone else did the same thing. The girl or the boy in the seat next to you wore the same clothes he wore the day before. Possibly your mother wore it on Saturday. Usually Monday was worse than commonly. But you didn't bicker about this. Color doesn't go with this or that. Susie is wearing her pink dress today, or so I must wear mine. No consideration like this, like you're here today. Jesus taught, having food and drink, therewith be content. Training a child, as we mentioned, your ancestry, your environment, can be overcome through proper training. Now, you will have some thoughts along this line that I will not have time to bring. You will have different thoughts than I will on what is proper training. You know, the Catholics say, give us a child until it is 7 years old, and it will die. We know we have exceptions to this. We have one in the room this morning, as we've heard before. The Jew rears his child, and it remains a Jew. There are few exceptions, I suppose. But generally speaking, this is true. Isn't it a shame that your child is mine? We can't seem to raise them or train them sufficiently. They remain. Yet the Catholic and the Jews succeed. What is wrong? What manner of child will this be? Now we know that we all have made mistakes. Our edification is to those who may be about to have children, those who have young children, that this might help them. Because I agree with this, when a child is 7 years old, his personality, his character, his ways are pretty well set for that time. If he hasn't attained the ability to accept discipline, for example, you're going to have a hard job. So I have some items down here, so far as training is concerned. He has to be trained in a home to be thankworthy to parents and to God. He has to be trained in the home to be respectful parents and to the elderly. Now, I heard the case where very uncommon today, where when an older person would come in, the young individuals had been taught to stand up from their chair for a resting place in respect for the elderly. older folks. This goes along with God's teaching. To respect the elder. Now, he could do this and still disrespect him, but this is training in the right direction. I'm not advocating that all of you follow this, but this is an example. Train in the home not to be loud and boastful. Trained in the home in memory work. Do you recall your school days? I remember mine, partially. How many sheets of paper you would use up going down through that multiplication table until you knew it by heart, just like that. Or spelling. Or learning state capitals and all of this. Memory work. I know of a young boy at our neighborhood who studies the sports page. He can give you every batter's average in both leagues, I expect. But he studies this. In other words, this is his item. He was doing no good. And they had judgment outside of the ability to remember. Train in the home to share and to be treated like the golden rule. Do ye unto others. Trained in the home to accept authority, first of the parents, God, civil authority, and the church. In this life, there will always be someone higher in authority than you. Trained in the home by example, and not, you do as I say, not as I do. Quite a difference. How many people, we don't have this problem here basically, but how many people do you know that send their children to Sunday school on Sunday morning and they stay in bed or go play golf or something in this country and profess to be Christian? So this is an example of training in the home by example and not you do as I say, not as I do. Trained in the home that if we have a problem, we go to the source which can help with that problem. Whether it be a civil matter or a spiritual matter. Proverbs 1 and 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Just for example, I have never averaged my income tax before. Now the farmers have been taken into this category where you can average it over the past 4 years, if my memory serves me right, I'm not sure about this, but 4 or 5 years. And you average this out, because we had a good year last year. Years previous to this, we didn't. I went to the federal income tax thing and had a young man, very young, not over 21. He just went down through that like he was writing a letter home and worked that out for me, which was kind of good. So I use myself as an example because I know of this. But this is a civil matter. Now, if you have a spiritual matter, come to the people that can help you. Don't be so proud that you can't do it. And this is training in the home. Go to someone else for advice. This will not hurt anyone. Then there's a matter of time and patience when it comes to the ultimate end, what manner of child, how it'll turn out. This is something that I feel that I have failed on many times in rearing my children. It's not patience. When we talk of patience, it's so odd. We patiently teach a child how to hold, swing a bat, or a golf club, but have or take no time to teach him the Word of God, things which develop character. Well, this develops character. Teach him how to lose in a ball game. I'm not against ball games. My boys play ball. But there's a limit to it. What I'm saying is that there are other things more important than this. You have to teach him other things as well as how to hold a golf club or a baseball bat. We are without excuse today with all of our modern conventions so far as taking time, having the patience to teach our children. Again, I go back to my own family. As all most of you know, we came from a large family. And I can remember Mother having so much to do, cooking so many meals and big meals. Peeling potatoes, she was a whiz at it because she had to do it for her. But she was asked one time what she would do over if she had to live her life with her children again. she said she would take more time to be with her children, to enjoy them, teach them, play with them, things like this. How many times have you and your brothers or sisters played a game? Things weren't going well at all, you were getting bored with it. Mom and Dad would say, well, I'll play with you. The boy thing perked up just like that. This is companionship. This is getting close to people, close to your children. This is patience. This is love. Some have the theory that I can isolate my child. Can we isolate a child? I don't want him to be in the world. I don't want him to have all that rub off on him. No more so than a Christian cannot isolate himself from society. It is true that evil communications corrupt good manners. But what saith the Scripture? Jesus went to the lost and dying world. What I'm saying is, sooner or later, a child is going to have to face society. This doesn't mean that he's going to have to go along with society and all the evils connected with it. But he has to be acquainted with it, at least. What goes on in the world? The monk who isolates himself from the world is never tempted except for his own loneliness. In other words, he isn't developed to face the world and developing willpower to say, no, I won't indulge him, because he hasn't been confronted with the situation. I'm not advocating that we take our children to the house of prostitution, that they be confronted with the situation. No way. But to completely isolate them from society is an entirely different situation. To get away from sin, we would have to get out of this world. To isolate a child would be to not let him mix with society, which would leave him unprepared to get along in later life. Many times we hear parents say, don't ever get yourself in that situation, rather than teaching the child how to say no when they're in a new or different situation. Peter got himself in a trap such as this when he would eat with the Gentiles when the Jews weren't around. And when they were around, why, he wouldn't eat with them. Paul had to straighten him out. In other words, Peter couldn't say no to a situation where he knew better. Sadly, we have many young people today who are convinced there is only one body, but never developed the ability to say no to their so-called friends. This also points out that we have to be very careful about our companions. So I think our thought here is that we need to teach a child how to say no. 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 Because they're going to be confronted with situations where they have to say no or face disciplinary things from the home, from the church, and in the future from God if they don't change their ways. So this is one of the keys to training a child, is telling how to say no, when to say no. Don't allow yourself to get in that situation. Companionship. From the time a child is born, in many cases, he barely knows who mom and dad are. I don't say that to be true in the church, but this is true in the world, sometimes true in the church. So, nurseries, daycare centers, preschool, babysitter, and then sports. Mom and dad are too busy socially, making money, to care. Care for the child. We need to live with our children, play with them, work with them, and study with them. One wealthy father gave this present to his son. Dear son, I hereby give you 1 hour of my time on weekdays and 2 hours on Sunday to be used by you like you want to, without any interference on the part of another father passed away, and the family said, he was a good man. His own son said, I do not know. I never did. Do you know your child? Do you hope to know your children of the future? Do you wish for them to be successful? What a glorious thing. Have a child be successful in God's work. Some things God gives often. Some He gives only once. The seasons return again and again, and the flowers change with the months. But youth comes twice to no one. What manner of child will they be? What manner of child will yours be? I have a little poem here in closing this morning. I think relates the thoughts that we have been trying to say. It says, I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had. But I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish ere my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad. And to make myself successful as a little fellow's dad. I may never come to glory, I may never gather gold. Men may count me as a failure when my business life is over. But if he who follows after shall be manly, I'll be glad. For I'll know I've been successful as a little fellow's dad. It's the one job I dream of, it's the task I think of most. If I fail that ruling youngster, I'd have nothing else to boast. For through wealth and fame I'd gather, all my future would be sad if I failed to be successful as a little fellow's dad. As we mentioned, we're not dealing with raising pigs or calves or chickens, which have no soul. You people who have youngsters, they won't be young again. You will have a great, greatest influence on molding these children's character and personality. You have the greatest influence on them. They will be successful. As we mentioned, God has taken all mankind into His promise that we will be obedient to His teaching. God is glorified, the angels are aroused, sing praises when one sinner repents, serve God. We'll all make mistakes as fathers and mothers. This lesson was brought hoping that we have some influence to help you. There be one here this morning who has not been obedient to God's plan, whose desire it is to have his life molded, even though he may be 20 years old, 70 years old, 12 years old. Have his life molded by the will of God. We would be happy to assist you this morning. God has required that you have faith, that you are willing to repent of your past ways, confess his name before man, and be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sin. This be your desire to become a member of his body, the like a moment coming forward as we stand in the kitchen.